You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, along with Vince Imperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how are you?
Jeff, I'm all right. Weekend was okay. No other firings, so, you know, at least we're off the hook on that end.
Yeah, not much baseball news over the weekend. Some sad football news, I guess, if you're a Raiders fan. This is probably the worst possible Super Bowl matchup for a Raiders fan, right?
It's up there. It's definitely up there as one of the worst ones.
Yeah, Chiefs and 49ers. I don't know. The Chiefs are probably, I don't know enough about football. When I heard about that, I thought, well, I'm sure Vince isn't happy because I know you don't like either of those teams. So
it's more that, I don't like the Chiefs team. I don't like the 49ers fan base.
I respect that. Yeah. I don't know enough to care. So I'm rooting for Pat Mahomes, the baseball player, not the football player. So today we're going to talk a little bit about some quotes from Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve. We're going to talk about a trade the Dodgers made, and then we're going to talk, finally, after teasing it for a week and a half, we're going to finish talking about Buster Olney's positional awards, the outfield, and his top teams. So that's planned for today. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's talk about the trade first, Vince. The Dodgers, the other day, they had DFA'd Casey Sadler to make room for Alex Wood when they signed him, which meant that they had a week or so to do something with Sadler. And on Friday, I think it was, they did that thing. They traded Sadler to the Cubs for a minor leaguer who has a name, Clayton Daniel, right?
Yep, that is correct.
He's a 5'7" little guy, not much power. He has hit well, but he's also been old for his competition because I think he was a senior draftee. And pretty low draft pick. So he's almost 25 years old and has only reached AA. So probably not much of a prospect, but there might be some potential with the Dodgers player development system to turn him into something. And like we said, they didn't really have room for Sadler anymore. So good for him. Sadler, I guess I saw on Twitter, the Cubs were the first team, or they were going to draft Sadler, but then whoever, the Pirates, beat them to it. So he thought he was going to be a Cub a long time ago, so he seems happy to be going to the Cubs. Hopefully he'll have some success there. You have any thoughts on that trade?
Yeah, no. I mean, I guess it's cool they got something for Sadler. He could have just passed through waivers and become a free agent. But the guy appears to be nothing more than infield depth. So, I mean, minor league depth. So, yeah, not too much to read about, but it is a trade nonetheless.
Yep. We've been waiting for the Dodgers to make moves, so there's a move.
Huh.
The Astros had their fan fest this weekend, and was it Friday also or Saturday?
Saturday for sure.
Run together. And Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve both had some interesting quotes or non-quotes, as the case may be. Alex Bregman, anytime anybody asked about the fact that he's a cheating cheater, he said, MLB did what they did, the Astros did what they did, and, you know, basically some version of no comment, but he said the same thing over and over again, which, you know, you don't really expect him, I guess, to say, yes, I'm a cheating cheater, and I'm only 5'2", and everything you know about me is a lie, but it came across as kind of smug and condescending, I thought.
Yeah, we'll talk about it too after, but just the mentality they're showing, it's not like this, it was speculation. Like, it's already been, you know, they cheated. Whether he specifically cheated or not, which we've seen that he
was, he did.
Yeah, which we've seen that the result of that already. But yeah, to just try to turn it and become a victim, and you know, just the way he, like, what do you think they're gonna ask about? Like,
yeah,
it, like, yes, it sucks that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it sucks that that's what you have to get asked about. But what do you think they're gonna ask about, and what did you expect to happen? Obviously, when you get four or five questions in a row and you already answered the same way the first three times, that's a little annoying. But he started off a little bit, you know, that smug attitude from the beginning. And it's just, you know, you don't have to say sorry, I guess, if you don't want to. But just realize that you're going to get asked about this the rest of the year. So if you're already upset about it now, you're going to be upset about it in 2 months when they're still asking about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's not going to be any easy way to answer that. But if his first answer had been, guys, I know you want to ask about that, but I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm not going to answer any questions about that. I'll answer any questions about the Fan Fest or the coming season or whatever, but I'm not going to answer any questions about that.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, then, you know, at least, you know, if they did ask another one, he could say, next question, you know, but to just repeat the same thing over and over, it was pretty obnoxious. And then Altuve kind of took the different approach of trying to make himself out to be the underdog and the victim and trying to play the nobody believes in us, but we're going to prove them wrong card. And, you know, if nobody believes in you, it's because you're cheaters and, you know, you kind of brought that on yourself. So I don't think Altuve is going to get the sympathy that he thought he might get.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one point where being the little small guy that had the big come up in the world is not going to help him. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, okay, it's not like people don't believe in the Astros. I don't even think people believed in the Astros before other than Astros fans. And those fans, for the most part, are still going to believe in them, whatever that means. But, you know, now you're just being actively rooted against, which is not necessarily, you know, not believing in. And to try to turn it and become the victim and you know, kind of take on that role where, like, oh, woe is us, but we're going to show you, we're going to prove it. Okay, if you want to prove it, go ahead and prove it, but don't try to get any sympathy, because there's really no sympathy from anybody out here, especially fans and reporters.
Yeah, and maybe he was just playing to his base, just trying to give Astros fans more talking points, because as we've seen, Astros fans are definitely willing and eager to excuse the Astros any way they can, and so giving them the whole, it happened, let's move on, nobody believes in us kind of card to play. Maybe that was the point. Altuve and Bregman both kind of took the approach of being offended that anybody would suggest that they were using buzzers or all the other different ways that they might have been cheating. They tried to act offended by it. But when you've shown that you're willing to cheat one in one unprecedented way, I don't think you have much room to be offended that somebody suggests you might be willing to cheat in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, if you cheated 2017, it worked. You didn't get caught. I mean, there's no reason that you didn't do the same thing in 2018. Okay, it didn't work out. Or maybe they didn't do it in 2018 and it didn't work out, and they came back to it in 2019. I mean, we don't really know, but like I said, they don't have the benefit of the doubt at this point, and I don't know when they'll get that back.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they want us to think was the impetus for them stopping cheating. It seems like the only thing that's going to stop them was getting caught, and maybe not even that, I guess we'll see. But yeah, whatever they do accomplish in 2020, there's going to be question marks next to it. You know, I hope they win 43 games next season. They're still going to have a good team probably, but, there's definitely going to be question marks no matter what they accomplish. So, but they brought that on themselves, so I don't feel bad for them.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Buster Olney's position lists. Only one Dodger made a list, but we had an honorable mention, and then he had a top teams list that the Dodgers appeared on. So there's plenty to talk about there. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. Hey, Vince, you ever been to Arizona?
I have been to Arizona.
Yeah, for spring training?
I have been there for spring training.
Huh, did you like it?
Yeah, that's where I met you, Jeff.
So, oh, yeah, we did meet there. Yeah, that's right.
That's where I live.
That is how we met. Do you ever go back to that backfield and just look at that spot where we met and just kind of, you know, gaze off into space and imagine how your life would have been different if we hadn't met there?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically all I do when I go there for the first hour or so. And then I, you know, come back to life and think about the rest of the stuff to do in Arizona.
Hey, Vince, my wife's in the room, so try not to get too mushy, all right?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so Arizona is a fun place to go for spring training. We've talked about it a lot, but we're going to keep talking about it because if you haven't gone to the Arizona Office of Tourism website to start planning your spring training trip, you should. I've gone with my sons a few times, and it's a lot of fun. If you have kids, young kids who are interested in baseball, it's a great place to go. You can see a lot of different teams. So the baseball side of it is pretty obvious. Having 15 teams within an hour of each other is kind of a baseball gold mine. There's also a lot of fun stuff to do that's not baseball related, you know. And so if you go to day games or whatever, you've got your evenings. Or if you're going to a night game, you've got your days. There's time to kill when you're there for spring training. You could go hiking. They have museums. You could take a day trip up to the Grand Canyon. It's only a couple hours away. There's actually even a really nice mall near Camelback Ranch where I went with my boys one day when the Dodgers got rained out last year, and we saw a movie and just kind of there's so much stuff to do, museums, restaurants, everything that you can imagine. If you and this website that we're going to give you the link to in a minute has so many resources available. I mean, anything you're interested in, you go to that website and it will have ideas for you.
Yeah, and on the other side of things, if you don't have kids, there's might be even more for you to do without those restrictions, as some may say. You know, there's a great nightlife.
Blessings, Vince. Blessings.
Oh, sorry. There's a great nightlife. There's a few cities you can hit, different cities you can hit for some bars. They got to get some good breweries, up-and-coming breweries, some restaurants. I'm sure there's a lot of spas and even pools at the hotels or wherever you stay. Pretty much everywhere out there has to have a pool, so... there's a lot of other things to do in Arizona than just baseball but during spring training. So you might as well combine both and get out there.
Yeah, so take a weekend or a week or whatever in February or March to hit spring training. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining.
If you've been a listener of our podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Dodgers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Dodgers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Dodgers fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, that's the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
All right, let's do our obscure Dodger. This guy, I was the reason I came up with this guy. When I started looking, all three of my kids were in the room, and I started thinking about their birthdays, and I realized that two of my kids were born during the off season. Only one of my kids was born during baseball season. So I looked at the game the Dodgers played on June 14th, 2011, the day that my youngest son Ryan Koufax Snyder was born, and I looked at the Dodger game. They lost 3-2 to the Reds. And the losing pitcher for the Dodgers is a guy named Blake Hawksworth. Do you remember much about Blake Hawksworth, Vince?
I remember he's one of those generic relievers that the Dodgers have had over the years.
Yeah, that basically describes him. He was kind of an underdog to even make the majors. He was drafted in the 28th round by the Cardinals. Didn't make the majors till 8 years later. He was... let's see, where's his debut? He was 26 years old. So he was drafted out of high school in the 20th round, made his debut when he was 26 years old, and finished his career when he was 28. He played 2 years with the Cardinals and then 1 year with the Dodgers. Wasn't bad, but wasn't good. Had a 91 ERA plus, so nothing to write home about. He was purely a reliever. And 49 games, no starts for the Dodgers in 2011. Went 2-5 with a 4.08 ERA. And then... the only notable thing about him really is the way the Dodgers got him. They traded Ryan Terrio for him, and Ryan Terrio is one of those guys. I don't know if we've done him already as an obscure former Dodger, but he's one of those guys that you're like, oh, that name sounds familiar, but I kind of remember that he played for the Dodgers, I guess. So that's Blake Hawksworth. Not much to say about him, but he is our obscure former Dodger for the day.
He is obscure.
He is obscure, and that's right there in the title.
Yeah.
All right, so Buster Olney had his lists. I guess let's start at left field, and we'll work our way around to right field, and then we will talk about the top teams list. So in left field, Jock Peterson made the honorable mention list. Was there anything really notable about that left field list to you besides that?
No. Jock Peterson stacks up relatively well. In that respect, let me see who else is on this list. Juan Soto's at the top. But after that, it's a bunch of guys that are good but not spectacular. You got Brantley, Tommy Pham, Joey Gallo, Kyle Schwarber, Brett Gardner, Jeff McNeil. If Jock Peterson was an everyday player, he wouldn't hit against lefties still, but he probably would be able to round out to be on the top 10 list. But I think for the fact that he just bats against right-handed pitchers, puts him down a little bit lower.
Yeah, just of those guys you mentioned, there's a couple guys who I wouldn't mind putting Jock up against. Like you said, the fact that he can't hit lefties definitely comes back to bite him a little bit. Center field, there wasn't much at all. The Dodgers didn't really have a center fielder yet last year. They had guys playing center field every game, but A.J. Pollock started as a center fielder. Turned out he was bad at it. So when he wasn't hurt, he had moved over to left field. Chris Taylor played some center field. Cody Bellinger finished the season as a center fielder. But, these lists were based on last year. And so I don't even know if the Dodgers had anybody who was really even eligible by only standards for the list.
Yeah, I don't think – Pollock, I guess, because then he moved toward left. So, yeah, I don't think they had anyone eligible. And even if they did, obviously if it wasn't Bellinger – Chris Taylor might be able to get on this list if he had a full season in center field and put up the numbers that we're kind of used to seeing from him now. But obviously next year it'll be different because you would imagine that Cody Bellinger is going to be the everyday center fielder next year.
Yeah, MLB Network did their top 10 right now, and their lists are more based on projecting where they think guys are going to play, and Bellinger was listed as a center fielder for them, and he came in at number 2 behind only Mike Trout, and which is, I think that's right for center fielders, but for Olney's purposes, Bellinger was listed as a right fielder, and he was specifically listed as the number 3 right fielder in baseball behind Mookie Betts and Christian Yelich. What'd you think about that, Vince?
Yeah, you can't really argue too much. If you went just by last season, obviously Bellinger should be top 2 probably. Yelich, if he doesn't get hurt, really challenges Bellinger for MVP a little bit more than anyone else would if he didn't get hurt, obviously. Mookie Betts is the guy that the Dodgers have been rumored and linked to a lot. So obviously it would be in their best interest to get a guy like that, a guy that's above Bellinger on the list. But yeah, there's no quarrels with having those two ahead of him. And I like that he's above Aaron Judge and Ronald Acuna and Bryce Harper. So I'm happy with where he's at on that list. But yeah, like we said, next year, probably center field.
Yeah. Olney's last paragraph basically tells the story of what Bellinger can be. He said, Bellinger at age 24 is one of the game's best power hitters, an excellent base runner, and an elite defender. And that's I said it at the beginning of last year, even before the season started, I said talent-wise, Cody Bellinger is, top 5 player in baseball as far as pure talent goes. It's really, really rare to find a guy who can hit like that and also run like that and also play defense like that. He is truly, I guess we'll have to see what he does batting average-wise when you talk about, the traditional 5-tool player. But he definitely hits for power, and he can throw, and he can run, and he can play defense. And so he's got 4 of the 5 tools locked down, and the 5th one is hitting for average, and he was batting .400 into May last year. So there's definitely potential there. He's, Cody Bellinger, even I'd rather have him than Yelich, partly because of age. Bellinger is younger than Yelich. He's better defensively. Even though Yelich stole more bases, I think Bellinger is a better base runner. Overall, I just think Bellinger is Yelich, you know, times about 1.1, you know, just 10% better than Yelich. The big question, like Only says, is, Only said, what's next is a chase for year-long consistency. And that's really what it boils down to. You know, Bellinger had a great rookie season, but even that had some inconsistencies. And then his postseason that year was terrible. And then he had a down year in 2018, and his postseason wasn't great, even though he did win the NLCS MVP. And then last year, he basically got worse each month, even though he was still good every month. And then his postseason struggled again. So there's definitely some consistency to be gained there. But talent-wise, I'll take Bellinger over just about anybody. And then Only ranked his teams. You didn't have any other thoughts on the right fielder list, right?
No, we'll get there.
Okay, Only ranked his top 10 teams. And the Dodgers came in at number 2 behind only the Yankees. These lists came out before really everything came down with the Astros stuff, right? Oh, no, the teams, it was after that. So I wonder if Only had the Astros hired before Hinch and Lunau got fired and everything. But the Dodgers, number 2, right behind the Yankees. What were your thoughts on that, Vince?
Yeah, I don't have any issues with it. Like we've said, the Dodgers are still a top team in all of baseball, regardless of the moves you know that they didn't make or that didn't happen for them in the offseason. The fact of the matter is that they, you know, don't really have to. And I think at the top of the rotation, if Severino is healthy, I think Gerrit Cole and Severino are better than any top 2 the Dodgers can put out at the moment. But that doesn't mean that can change, obviously, if the Dodgers acquire someone or if, you know, Buehler steps up a little more. Although Buehler in the postseason, you know, I'll take him right up there with Gerrit Cole or any other pitcher. But, you know, Kershaw in the postseason, as we've seen, and as he gets a little bit older, is maybe not so much of a sure thing. Kershaw during the regular season is probably still fine. But if Julio and Dustin May step up or anyone else steps up, then they can challenge that. The other thing with the Yankees that I just don't know is, you know, last year so much went right for them, even though so much went wrong at the same time. Had so many injuries, but they had a lot of guys that kind of played a little bit out of their mind from what we've seen previously. So it kind of a little bit 2017 Dodgers-esque where we're not, you know, Gio Urshela, you know, Chris Taylor, is he going to have the same kind of year, or is he even going to have room if all the other guys are healthy with Gleyber and everyone else? So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle if everyone's healthy.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thought too on the Yankees. Just, I mean, when you have Mike Tauchman making major contributions to your team, that's awesome, but it's also not really something that you can realistically expect to happen again in the next year. It's, you know, like you said, Tauchman, Gio Urshela, that generic first baseman guy who I assume has a name, but I don't even remember it. I know he hit a home run against the Dodgers.
Luke Voigt or...
Not Luke Voigt, the other guy who, yeah, I mean, he's, I honestly, I have no idea what his name is. It's like the most generic name you've ever heard of. He's just a round, doughy looking dude, but, you know, and so I don't know if that guy's going to be any good, you know, but all those same things, like you said, it's things that people would have said about Chris Taylor a couple years ago, things that people said about Max Muncy. And so, you know, whatever, Ford, something Ford, Ford. Yeah. It's like, how generic is that? The Yankees definitely have potential to be good. And obviously you can't quibble too much about having them at the top, especially when they added Gerrit Cole to a already really good team. The Dodgers at number 2, you know, when you look down the list, he has the Nationals at number 5. I'm not really convinced. I think that's kind of some World Series hangover going on for Buster Olney, because I don't really see the Nationals being, I mean, they didn't win their division last year, and I don't think they're going to win their division this year. And so it's hard to say that they are the 5th best team in baseball. I'd put the Braves ahead of them. The Braves are number 7, Cardinals are number 8, the Mets are number 10. So even though there's five teams in the National League listed, three of the top four are American League teams. The Dodgers appear to be the class of the National League on paper, which is what we expect. When you look, you know, we've talked about it. For as frustrated as Dodger fans have been somewhat this offseason that they haven't made any moves, part of that is because you make moves to upgrade the team, and there are very few guys who are upgrades for this Dodgers team. You know, Garrett Cole would have been an upgrade. What's his name? Anthony Rendon would have been an upgrade. You know, a few of those guys would be upgrades. Obviously, Mookie Betts would be an upgrade. But, you know, when you're in the Dodger position, you can't just go out and sign, you know, I can't even think of any. Dallas Keuchel. Yeah, good example. Dallas Keuchel would not be an upgrade for this Dodgers team. He would have maybe been a good innings eater. But, you know, the Dodgers are looking for upgrades, and it's really hard to upgrade from a 106-win team. And, you know,
and
I know.
The other thing to look at is, you know, the two other top teams in the NL, like, I'll disregard the Cardinals at the moment, but the Braves and the Nationals both lost MVP-caliber players at third base, and they didn't really replace them with anybody of MVP-caliber or even All-Star-caliber.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers should have beat the Nationals last year, and the Nationals got worse this offseason. So, you know, the Nationals don't scare me at all. Obviously, when you have Scherzer and Strasburg, that, you know, when I say they don't scare me, obviously you and I were both scared to even face them in the playoffs last year. They scare me in that way in a short series. But as far as overall team quality, I just don't see it much. So you have any other thoughts on this top 10 list? Anybody surprise you or not by being there or not being there?
The Rays are number three, which is, you know, I think it's just one of those teams that you don't really pay attention to. And, you know, the fact that the Yankees are in their division, they didn't win the division, but they still won, what, like 96 games last year or something like that. And, you know, the team is good. And they got a lot of guys that can be all-stars. They got a very good top of the rotation if their hitting can keep coming through. I'd like to see them challenge the Yankees at the top. But other than that, like I said, Nationals are a little high. The A's are up there. The Cardinals are up there, Twins, Mets. I mean, I think the only other thing is that the Diamondbacks are an honorable mention, but once again, the Dodgers should seemingly have an easy route to the NL West title. So, I mean, I don't know when that's ever going to change.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a good position to be in because they really do have until July to patch any holes that they might have and to identify what holes they might have. So, it's a good position to be in for the Dodgers. Obviously, we hope for some of those upgrades, but they don't have to do them right now because not everybody's available who would be an upgrade. So, all right, I think that'll wrap it up for today. It's good that we finally got through these only lists. They've kind of been on our docket for a long time, but you know, the Astros kept getting guys fired, and so we just kept having to talk about it. So luckily the Astros didn't ruin anybody's career this weekend. Lance Berkman may not ever recover. We didn't even talk about what Berkman said, but short version, in case you're wondering what Lance Berkman thinks, he thinks the Astros are a class organization. And that's all you need to know about Lance Berkman, I guess. So we will be back tomorrow. You know, we don't really know what we'll talk about because we don't know what's going to happen today in the news. So we'll talk about whatever happens, or we've got a few things, some evergreen topics on our back burner. Later this week, I'll be doing a solo episode on Thursday or Friday, I think, talking more about arbitration. We talked about it last week, and several of you have asked a few specific questions. And so I'm going to be putting together a solo episode to run later this week, answering some of your questions about arbitration. Hopefully, if you have any specific questions, no, in the next couple days, feel free to shoot them over to us at Locked On Dodgers on Twitter or Instagram, or directly to me at Snydog, either in my mentions or my DMs. And I'll be sure to get to those if they're not already on the list of things I want to cover. Yeah, thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there to help other people find us. Again, we're on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those accounts. You can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can shoot us a text or leave us a voicemail anytime you want. The number is 323-863 lock 5625. We are here every weekday morning. We hope you will be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!